Romans chapter 8, a verse you've probably heard of. Many of you may have memorized it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Is that a true statement? Is it ever wrong? What about when you don't do well? What about when someone's being a real jerk? What about when your job takes a change that you're not prepared for? What about if stuff happens at your church that maybe you don't completely align with? It's still true. Does that mean all that stuff is from God? I mean, we can analyze all that in many ways, but we know that in that, for you and I that are walking with the Lord and that are the called, God's working. We know this. God is working. And it's really remarkable to see. You know, some of you guys are fairly new here, tempted to take an informal poll. But we know that the church has grown since COVID. It's been, you know, gotten pretty big. But prior to COVID, it was great. But some of us were from the old school way back when. And that means basically the middle school. Over there, what used to be Athey Creek Middle School, they moved it now. But at any rate, back there, about 13 years, we were plugging away, and that was a blast. Did we know we were going to be there for 13 years? Did we know that some of the teachers were not going to love having us using their classrooms? Did we know that we were going to have some conflicts, if you will, with that godly sport of soccer on Sunday mornings? With parking and people and all that kind of stuff. We didn't know that. We just knew we wanted to worship and serve, and that was the opportunity we had. And so we continue. Now, even before that, how did you wind up at Athey Creek? I heard about it through a friend. We were over at a church in Tigard for a couple of years, and it was good. And we got into the scriptures, it was great, until it wasn't, kind of a thing. Maybe you can relate. And what do I mean? Well, the pastor was doing some stuff that some of us didn't agree with, and some people got hurt, and we had to make a change. And so we did. And some of us were sort of in a holding pattern for a while. And then I went to a friend's church, and then that buddy over in Newburgh said, "Hey, you know what? There's this church that just started over in Tualatin, and you should check it out." I'm like, okay. Now, there was no way to find out back then about Athey Creek, because this was in the 90s, which is virtually pre-internet, as all the millennials gasp in disbelief. But he gave me a phone number. A guy named Brett, he gave me a phone number. That was the only word. It wasn't in the phone book. So I called this number, and this guy with this deep, gravelly voice told me, "Yeah, you know, we're meeting over here. I'm the pastor." And hey, cool. So we'll go check it out. And we came to Athey Creek Middle School. There was about 70 people on a Sunday, and there was about 15 people on a Wednesday night, which at the time met in a classroom there at the middle school. And for us, it wasn't like it was a big upgrade or downgrade. I mean, we were at a small church prior to that, and we came over here, and it was at a school, which was totally cool. The Calvary Chapel I went to years before that in California was also at a school for many years, so it was fairly normal. So we came in there, and that's how we wound up. And there was a handful of us, by the way. Some of us are still here that we came over from that church back then nearly 30 years ago, which is kind of cool to see. You know, we didn't know what we were in for, but we just wanted to get into the Word and serve, and that was happening. How did you wind up here? You know, what was your church experience back then? What led you to be here? Did the Lord bring you to this place in life that you're at? Pretty interesting to think about. Some of you guys are like, "Man, I don't even know what you're talking about. My grandma just drugged me here to church this morning, and I don't know anything about that." Well, maybe that's the Lord doing a work in your life. And so it's exciting to see. Do you see any of this in the scriptures ever? where God's working for the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Do you ever see that? Can you think of any Bible stories that might underline that biblical truth? You know, one that comes to mind, there are many, is a guy named Joseph. Joseph, like some of you, had a big family and lots of brothers and sisters. And it was in a tumultuous time where, you know, they needed food and they had to search for things and it was normal survival mode, how to live. Can you relate to that, by the way? I mean, did you have to move to survive or live? Half of us came from California, though we don't want to admit it. And many of us associate ourselves with native Oregonians because that's a cool thing. But the reality is some of us came from that other state. And, you know, and I'm one of them. And and it was because of work. You know, I needed work. And I grew up in the Bay Area. Got this tech job, and it was great until it disappeared. Due to budget cuts and changes, a whole bunch of us got laid off from a really good job. Couldn't find another one, oddly enough. And then a year and a half later, after doing odd jobs, a friend of mine at church said, hey, you ought to check this place out called Intel, up in a place called Oregon. And I was like, well, I don't know anybody there. But at that point in time, it was like I had a young family, needed to do it. And so that's how we wound up here, and just a few years later, wound up at this church. And I look back and think, wow, you know, the Lord totally did this work. And it's amazing. Can you relate to that? It's interesting to see throughout history how man has moved due to the need for work or food. You know, in Oregon, this stat is a few years old now, but close to 50% of all Americans actually stay inside of like a 50-mile radius of their hometown. So half the people are moving, half are staying. Should you move? Should you stay? Some of you guys are thinking about that right now. It's been a big thing around these parts since COVID, especially because of politics and taxing and all kinds of things. Should I move? Should I stay? There's great reasons to move. There's great reasons to stay. And a lot of us face that. It's a normal thing to face that decision. And, you know, Joseph and his family, they thought about these things. And so, you know, Jacob sent his sons out and they looked for food. And as you guys know, you Bible people, Joseph was kind of Jacob's eyes and ears. How are the boys doing? How are the flocks and herds? And, you know, he was given kind of special status. Is that you? In your family, do you have special status? You're given a special coat of sorts, a special designation, perhaps. Has that happened to you? Maybe it's happened to a sibling, to your chagrin. Is that wrong? You know, it's what people do. Can we depend on other people to treat you and me and our siblings perfectly? Why are you asking that question, James? Well, I mean, it's just a real thing we think about. Sometimes, many times, you and I, we think about that wrongly. My boss is treating that person in a special way, and I need to be treated that way. My mom is treating my sister this way, and they need to be treated that way. We think about those things. Should we? Something to think about and pray through. At any rate, this was a big deal for Joseph, so much so that it got so bad, his brothers hated on him. I mean, hated on him. I'm not talking about trash talking or throwing shade. They literally planned, we need to kill him. Old school. You talk about the Old West. You talk about hearing that soundtrack from a Clint Eastwood film. It was that. When they saw him coming, it got so bad, they were like, okay, how should we do it? So they figured, we're just gonna, you know, throw him in a cistern to where he can't get out. He's going to die. Our problem will be solved, they thought. Have you ever thought that? You don't have to raise your hand. But sometimes it gets that bad to where we're thinking about doing someone harm or wishing harm on someone? Should we think that? That's an easy softball question. The answer is no for you who are wondering. But it does happen. Those thoughts do come into play. And the real question is, what should I do with those thoughts? The Bible says to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Those thoughts are normal. Now, if you're having them 100 times a day, you need to seek help. And you really should. I really should. If it's just this residual thing, I want to do harm to that person. I want to see harm come upon that person. I should get prayer. I should really, really get help for that and talk to a pastor, an elder, search the scriptures for this dilemma. That's not what Joseph's bros did. They just kind of let this thing sort of metastasized, and so they were all in for the most part, and they grabbed Joseph and they threw him in this cistern. To make a long story short, they figured our problems are done. Now that's the interesting thing, is that when you and I actually act upon this stuff, we think, okay, we took care of things. We dealt with it. And now we're gonna be able to move forward. In fact, it's interesting, you look at, most people understand this. In fact, it seems like half the movies in Hollywood have to do with vengeance. But yet, people even in the world know that if you want revenge, you need to do what? There are songs written, books written. Even in the world, they know if we want revenge, there's a song that goes, if you want revenge, you need to build, you need to dig two graves. There's a saying that's out in the world. That's not a biblical proverb. People just understand that vengeance has repercussions. And man, you can be fixated on it. You can act it out. You shouldn't. I shouldn't. But if you do, if I were to act upon that and just follow through with that, it's going to affect me adversely. I might reach my goal. I might get to just take it to that person, make them pay for what they did. Might happen. But there's gonna be multiple deaths, philosophically, maybe even in reality. Gotta be careful. How do we deal with it? Well, the Bible has all the answers. That's the good news, is the Bible has all the answers. Jesus himself said, in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we can go to him. We can search the scriptures. That's the same thing. Jesus, the Bible says, is the living word. And I just want to encourage you, because you're gonna be affected by this, I'm gonna be affected by this, just wanting to just get back at someone when maybe the Lord's allowed that. Is that a thing? That problem in your life, that issue I have with them, could God have allowed it? That's something that David believed. You know, in another biblical picture of God working all things together, God working in all things, for the good of the called, according to his purpose. Remember when David was basically run out of his own home? In the view of the whole nation, it got so bad in his family and in the country, there was a divide, and David was run out of the palace. And Absalom was taken over. And at the same time, there was a guy literally and figuratively throwing shade, throwing rocks, throwing dirt at David. Remember his name? Shimei. Just throwing stuff. And one of David's mighty men was like doing the what seemed obvious and saying, David, let's just deal with this and be done with that. And if David said, yeah, you know what? He's annoying. Go ahead. Many people would have just been, yeah, makes sense. You don't be doing that. But David said no, and David thought in multiple times in his life, maybe the Lord has allowed this. You know, we'll deal with this. We'll have a plan for Shimei. And it's just amazing the patience and the honor, the trust in God exhibited by David. Can you do that? Can I do that? You're in a rut. I have a problem. Someone's just putting salt on the wound. Can I sit back in the pocket with poise? Proverbial poise, if you will, and just be like, you know what? The Lord's allowed this. God will deal with it. That's some next level stuff. David sorted it out. Now, you know, did I sort this out? Like in my story, coming over from a church in Tigard and winding up here because that church sort of folded and didn't do well, and here I am. A few of us are also here, and I just spotted one of them. Hi, Kit. It's just wonderful to see the stories that the Lord has written. You know, what's your story? You know, the Lord is writing a story in your life and in my life, and it's just amazing when we just sort of hand the pen over and just recognize his sovereignty. Well, in this situation with Joseph, was Joseph nefarious? You know, he's going about doing his debt. He's wearing the coat. You know, we can argue altruism, that he was just trustingly with a servant's heart, just doing what his dad wanted, sharing stories, visions and dreams. Was he like myopic? Was Joseph nearsighted to be able to share, hey, you know what, bros, look, you guys are gonna bow down to me. Sorry. I mean, not that that was his disposition, but he did share these thoughts and these visions and dreams with his family. Did he do it just sincerely? Or did he do it going, yeah, you stinkers, you're gonna pay because you're not nice? Probably not, very unlikely. But he did share them, and it got him into trouble, you might argue. His brothers, you know, here he comes. He's going to come and do this report. Go tell Dad what we're up to. And he's going to talk about how he's going to rule over us and stuff. He's going to be wearing that coat, looking fly. And so let's just deal with this guy. And so they threw him in this cistern. Then they thought, you know what, that's, you know, let's be a little bit nice and just only sell him as a slave. And so that's what they pulled him out, and they found some Midianite traders, and they sold Joseph away as a slave, going, either which way, guys, problem solved. We'll make up this story. Joseph got beaten and eaten, and we'll take this robe, put some blood on it from an animal, and we'll show Dad, and we'll act all sincere and like sorrowful. Were they nice brothers? Would you have done that? Would I have done that? Hopefully not. But they told their dad, and man, what a horrible day. And years to come, just a pit, gutted, their dad must have felt with this story of Joseph's death. Now, if this were a Hollywood story, this would turn into perhaps Joseph being played by Keanu Reeves or somebody and getting all angry and vindictive and getting all ripped and shredded in prison and then finding a way to just slow burn it out and exact vengeance on his brothers and make them pay in the end with flames burning in the background as the credits roll of the movie. That's how it would probably go if it was made in Hollywood. But what actually happened with Joseph? None of that, except the ripped part. As you Bible scholars know, Joseph, and the Bible doesn't say this about a lot of characters, but it does about two or three for different reasons. The Bible says, dude was yoked. That is the Pastor James Version Bible from the Bay Area. Doesn't actually say that, but it does say he was well-built and handsome. It does go into that about Joseph's visage. He was ripped. And that was what got him into trouble, you might argue, because in one episode of Joseph's life, he found himself in Potiphar's house, and he was a gifted individual. And he was also very hardworking, as it were. And so he was just serving and working hard. And in this home, he was noticed by Potiphar's wife. When I say noticed, she wanted him. She came on to him, and she noticed him. You know, is it because Egyptians didn't wear shirts? You know, did they shave and not wear shirts like some of the movies depict? Because the guy was kind of, you know. And did she take note of these things? I don't know, but she took note, and she wanted him, and she came on to him, and he brushed her off, and it, Bible even says that he avoided her. Not only denied her, but he avoided her. But one time, sure enough, she found him and, you know, grabbed his coat, and he wiggled away, and then she made up a lie. Another lie made up about Joseph. Turning the table, she said, he came on to me, and all this stuff, and Potiphar, I guess, had to believe it, threw Joseph in prison. Do you think you've had a bad day? Do I ever mope and think, man, life is rough? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But Joseph did have it pretty bad because he was thrown in prison for something he didn't do. Talk about a movie plot. Now, here you got to ask the question, when he went to prison there, in the book of Genesis, we read about this, Genesis 37, 38, 39, 40. When he went to prison, did he finally get an edge and start tattooing teardrops and beat people up and do all that prison stuff? Oddly enough, as it were, Joseph might have even taken a turn for the better. He just basically did Joseph stuff, which is to say he basically continued to trust in God and serve the Lord and do everything he could to bless God and people around him. He became one of the best prisoners. If there was a prisoner of the month parking spot, he would have parked there. I mean, if there was like one of those pictures, prisoner of the month, it would have been him all shredded right there on that photo. And so the point is, he just helped out and cleaned up and served others and helped the prison warden. And he was given extra responsibility there. Sure enough, down there, because he didn't get all hardened and hating on the world and closed up and closed off like we're tempted to do. He was just sharing his giftings and whatever God gave him to do. When you are imprisoned in peril and in difficulty, do you close off and close up to other people and to ministry and even to the Lord? Do you do that? Do I do that? That is the temptation. That's a normal temptation. Hopefully you and I don't give into that. Man, that's a dangerous road to go down. Because trouble and peril is gonna find us, isn't it? Whether it's real or just imagined. What do you mean? Well, like, you know, when you think your parents are hating on you and loving on your brother or your, you know, people at church or your boss, sometimes it's real, sometimes it's just imagined. But when we sort of metastasize that in our minds, that's the difficult road. That's the road the enemy would love for you and I to go down. Just thinking about how bad life is and how God's absent and how people are mean and life is a bummer. That's the road the enemy wants you and I to go down. What do you do about it? Well, like I said, I think the answer is to get help. What is help? Jesus. How do I do that? Well, I mean, maybe call the church. Come up after service and pray with a pastor. Maybe it's to go into the scriptures. Maybe set up a counseling appointment with an elder. Maybe it's to call the people in your life that you know love the scriptures and love the Lord and ask them for prayer and counsel. Maybe it's answer D, all the above. But don't just sit there, because that's where the enemy would want to work on you. And when that happens, man, you're just going to go down, and this is going to become a residual, perpetual problem for you and everybody around you. And before you know it, if you just metastasize on these problems and difficulties in your mind and or in reality, then people are going to start thinking, man, that guy's a real bummer. Don't hang out with that lady. Boy, yeah, they're just a real downer. Be careful. What did Joseph do? He laid out a perfect picture for you and I, among other things. He just continued serving joyously, as it would appear. People found the opportunity just to find him and seek him out. Hey, man, I've got this issue. People came to him, and he did his best with it. You know, he foretold dreams and visions down there, so much as you guys know that the word got out. It took a while. In fact, Joseph even kind of recognized, perhaps, that, you know, word isn't out that I'm not a bad guy. There has not yet been made a podcast saying Joseph's dilemma. Joseph wrongfully accused. There wasn't a podcast made into a miniseries yet for Joseph. And so here he was, his own advocate there in prison. And now he, after years, was telling people, hey, yeah, you know what? When you get out, if you can remember your boy. Just, you know, if you could just hook a brother up. People forgot about him until one day, sure enough, this big dream thing situation came up. And and as you guys know, then it was real. Oh, you know, I know a guy. I know a guy who can tell dreams. And that's when they took Joseph, cleaned him up, brought him before the king, and Joseph foretold what the dreams meant and what to do about it to save that whole part of the world, as it turns out. And then years and years later, as it turns out, Joseph's family was brought before him. His brothers came out. At that point, you know, as you know, Joseph was walking like an Egyptian, talking like an Egyptian. And his brothers didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. It was just a perfect, amazing story. Has your life been that way? Where after years of trusting in the Lord, giving it over to God, not retaliating, but just quietly, patiently, worshipfully trusting in the Lord, God just brings about the fruit. God works all things together for the good of them that love God. What else do we know about the way God works and the way God unfolds plans and writes your story? Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. That's God's thoughts and plans about your life and my life. Can I thwart them? Can I elongate that process? Probably. Can that process be shortened, perhaps? Maybe. I do know that, man, the frustration and difficulty on my part can be prolonged and protracted by my own attitude and reactiveness. Man, God help us to trust in him, to walk with him, to continue serving him through no matter what. Amen? That's a good one. And Joseph just carries that out so perfectly. That's why many Bible guys, including Pastor Brett, you know, look to him as a real picture of a great example, but also a picture of Christ because of how he lives out his life. So sure enough, Joseph comes out of prison and then he goes before the Pharaoh and he tells the story and then he gets promoted, perhaps a little later than he would have wanted, but he gets promoted. He's second in command there and he's a shot caller. And people are even going before him. And saying, make way, make way. Which is kind of a old school way of saying he was an influencer? Probably not. But back then, that was like, that's where people wanted to be in that day. It's like someone going in front of you and saying, make way, as he rode through town on his chariot. That's the status that he was put in. Have you reached the status where you want to be? Are you at the status where God wants you to be? Are those things the same? Good questions to ask, you know, because God has a plan for you. And God has a place for you and I, a church, a family, a place of work, a ministry, a relational situation level with those in your life. Are you there right now? Good questions to ask. Where do we find the answer? I think that's really it, the Word of God. The answers are all in Jesus, in the Scriptures. And to help with that, I mean, really good, godly, biblical counsel is handy. It's also biblical. To get sort of more eyes, more godly eyes and ears on your life, on my situation. Am I where I should be? My attitude. Am I where I am supposed to be? In life, in ministry, in this relationship I've got? Is there another level or two of communication, of forgiveness, of just connectedness that I should be at? These are great things. Rather than just assume this situation I've been in with this person for the last 10 years, that's as good as it's probably gonna get. Not assuming that, but just like, what is the next? I mean, you and I, hopefully you have people in your life. Hopefully I have people in my life. And I do, that I can just say, hey, you know what, is this right? This happened between me and that person. Is that cool? I remember coming out of this church that I mentioned earlier. There was a season even at that church, and for a little while after, I was like, I feel like I don't have friends. I feel like I don't have like solid peeps in my life where I could just bounce ideas off of, pray with, have them speak corrective or encouraging words into my life. There was a season my wife and I, we prayed for quite a while. God, God, can you send people into my life? Put me in a situation? Are you in that situation? Where it's like, wow, you know what? I don't really have anyone I can confide in right now that I can trust, that I can speak into their life, they can speak into my life. There's a vulnerability, there's a connectedness, there's an accountability. Don't have it. Well, the good news is if we're in that, we can still, I'm just gonna encourage you. You can talk to a pastor, an elder, you know, one of the women's ministry leaders. You can talk to someone today, thank God. But maybe that's something to add to your prayer list, to my prayer list, is like, Lord, can I get there? I remember this season, my wife and I, we'll talk about it from some time to time, where we were praying, asking God, and thankfully that the Lord worked that out. And that is a thing for you. That could be a thing for me, for you, is having someone in your life. You know, for Joseph, it didn't get him down when that was not the case, but he continued to serve and just honor the Lord and worship and just share his giftings. As it turns out, you know, sure enough, the time came when Joseph could have exacted vengeance upon his brothers. Man, it was just right there. Did he have a little fun anyways? Perhaps. Did he really have to do the thing with the silver thing in the sack of grain or whatever? Did he really, I don't know. Maybe no, maybe yes. But the point is, he could have just ended those guys. Some of you guys would have. But he was like, you know what? Here's the question. Why didn't he? When they came and they literally had to bow before him. And he had them. He had them. He had a virtual hand around their neck. In a sense. He had them. He could have just taken them out. Made them pay. Why didn't he? Perhaps it's because the same reason why he served the Lord in prison, in Potiphar's house, everywhere he went. When he was on the auction block being sold as a slave, everywhere he went, he just had this attitude of serving the Lord. And I think ultimately, I think that for him, as I see it, he believed in the sovereignty of God. He really, truly believed in the Lord. And with that, he had to believe that God had a purpose in this. The Lord was still working. Romans 8:28, still in play. God had not forgotten. He had to believe this in order just to continue to serve and not do vengeance or any of that stuff. And so there were his bros, and there goes Joseph. You know what? He's going to ultimately feed them. And then take it another step further and bring him into a place where they could have a home and be in proximity where they can have food and not have to travel and all those things to survive. He made it. Now, some of you ultra-pessimists, are there any ultra-pessimists in the crowd? Don't raise your hand. If you're like a real downer, then you're like, well, yeah, but then they, you know, the next king came along eventually, and then they were made slaves. Maybe they should have never come to Goshen. Ha! Is that true? Well, you know, the Lord, I don't think there is any exemptions from Romans 8:28. The Lord has a purpose and plan. To this day, God, I think, is using that season for the Jews, for mankind. God has a purpose and plan. It's been fun to jump into 1 Thessalonians and talk about God's plan, as Pastor Brett's been teaching here, and how it plays into the end times. How we don't know the hour or the day, but the season. Are we in the season? An exciting study, 1 Thessalonians. And so, the point is God's using that stuff. Now, well, how about the stuff, speaking of, how about the stuff you went through, that tough thing as a kid or that hard thing last week? Does God use that in your life? Or, like many of us believe, going through those seasons, would it have been better for them to never happen? Easy street, silver spoons, smooth pathways your whole life. You wake up one day as an 18-year-old to a giant trust fund. Ha! What do you know? Don't have to work. Wonderful. Thank God. Really? Is that how it's supposed to be? Easy street? No problemos? Or does God use those things? Well, James, my problems, well, Bible has a lot to say about problems that you and I go with being common. You know, no temptation, for example, has seized you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. And so with that, you know, we go through similar problems, similar temptations, similar difficulties. Fire of refining, God calls it in the scriptures. There's a refinement. So there's one good example. Are any of you guys grandparents? You know, Pastor Tad, who, you know, I've got some issues with this morning, but, you know, I won't deal with it here. No, actually, he's one of my best friends. He's a great guy, as you guys know. And the thing I want to mention is that recently he told some of us that, you've heard this thing, you know, if you're a grandparent, he called it basically, grandparents are basically like crack cocaine. Is that possible? Well, the point is that when they're around, you're happier ultimately. And all the hype is true. If you're not a grandparent, I just got to be honest with you. Like, all that hype, it's even underrated. It's real. Like, they enter the room and they do as much as slobber. You're roughly 5 to 10 times happier than you were the moment before. All that's true. And so he was talking about him and Marna, you know, and they're doing stuff with the grandkids and for the grandkids and having fun and all that stuff. True stuff. Well, you know, it has been a fun season for us with them. But I got to say, you know, with Joseph, the Lord had a plan. Now, how about you guys? If you're going to be a grandparent, if you are, do you want to sit down with your grandkid, maybe near the hearth someday, fire roaring? Hard to imagine right now as we've had a long, hot summer, but, you know, picture it. Rain outside, snow, fire burned inside, grandkids gathered around, and you have an opportunity to share with them what it is about your life. Yeah, you know, grandson, I had a pretty awesome life. Trust fund, all kinds of ministry, ran all kinds of businesses, did all kinds of good stuff. Man, be like me someday, grandson. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to just explain the scars literal and or figurative, in the difficulties, the challenges, and how you with grace and dignity scripturally navigated through them and saw the Lord in them and grew in Jesus through them. Do you want to do that? God help us, man. I hope so, because that's a thing. You know, the Bible says gray hair is like a crown. And no hair, many would believe, is like even better scripturally. It's like some of the greatest people in the Bible. Zip. Nothing up top. And so, but that old age, you know, the Bible looks at it as a dignified season. Not a grumpy old one where we're just all ticked off and antagonistic and reactive and vindictive. That's God. That's a part of God's plan. And that's why we've gone through difficulties, God working through them. So that's another reason why when Joseph saw his bros, he didn't drop the hammer. And eventually he revealed himself, and what happened? They had basically a big kumbaya moment in reality. They hugged and there was weeping, and Joseph covered his family, provided for them, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I mean, that was kind of the end of the story, in a sense, the end of the story for that family. Could that be a photo, a portrait of the end of your family? You know, someday this is all gonna be over. Is it, could it be today? Could be today. Could it be next year? Could it be in 30 years? What's God's plan for that season? Is it for you and your family looking each other in the eye, dignity, love, forgiveness, connectedness? Bible says to make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. These times, they're evil. Is that true? I mean, in Joseph's time, there was evil, man. You talk about, you know, like in the politics, in the Congress, if you will, of Joseph's day, there was evil. One of the most powerful ladies in the whole country, evil. And her husband, but like, it's very reflective of our climate now. There's evil all over. And we're not gonna get away with it until Jesus is the president. He sets himself up as king. And that day is coming, thank God. But until then, the days are evil, and we need to make the most of these opportunities. You have opportunities today. I have opportunities today. What are they? Well, maybe if you're going down a tough road of just anger, repercussion, vengeance, maybe it's time to get prayer and seek the Lord and just make some changes. It doesn't come easy. Maybe it's opportunity to jump into ministry and serve alongside people who also have challenges but want to love Christ. Maybe it's time to make some reconciliation with those around you. You've had some bumpy roads, some headbutts, some different stuff happen. Maybe it's time to just make amends. And thank God for all these things. Jesus is the answer. And through him, and only through him, we can be able to have that portrait in our lives of where we're embracing in the end. We're not ticked off and killing one another and dissing each other and repaying wrong for wrong. But what about my situation? It's unique. No, it isn't. I'm just here to say, no, it isn't. I mean, categorically, it is not. Now, you have some uniqueness to your story. I have some uniqueness to mine. There is some things that just, they're not similar. I get it. But categorically, people, difficulty, challenges, finance, relationships, work, all, you name it. And so for those things, we can come to Christ, cast all our anxiety on him, all our cares on him, because he what? He cares for us. He cares for us. His thoughts towards us are many. His kindness, the Bible says, leads us to repentance. Thank the Lord. And so, just like Joseph, we can have that picture in the end. And in the end, we can further realize what the Bible says right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, once again. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God is so good. Amen? Amen. Will y'all stand with me, please? Lord, thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, new every morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So loving, sovereign, kind, and merciful. Guide us now as we go our way, reflecting on your goodness and how that goodness can come in and saturate us and permeate to others through us. Help us, Lord. We love you. We thank you, and we look to you together in Jesus' name. Amen.